This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch.
I
am Kevin, here with my sister, Mare Bear. How are you doing?
Doing this, Dad. How about you?
Doing all right. It's getting chilly. Like I said, Halloween season, if you will.
And also, I know this is going to air the following Monday, but can we just talk about how Diwali is this weekend?
I did not know that.
Diwali is this weekend!
Is it?
It is! I was talking to some of my coworkers who celebrate it, and they were like, oh yeah, we're really excited this weekend, it's Diwali.
You made them sound like Kelly. Oh my god, so excited! It's like red clothes, oh my god, it's gonna be great!
There's like dancing and music and food.
And food, lots of, yes. Samosas. They're delicious. But, so we're here, we're covering The Office, Season 3, Episode 15 and 16 this week.
Yes.
But before we jump into those episodes, let us talk about what we, just go over what we did last week.
Yeah. So last weekend we talked about Episode 13, The Return, where essentially Andy pisses everybody off and annoys the shit out of every single human being, amoeba, mitochondria, ever.
Anyone with an atom.
Yes, essentially. And, Michael figured it out, like, hey, this person really sucks. He's a yes man. Goes back, and Dwight comes back. Also, Oscar comes back.
Yes.
And they throw a big fiesta for him. And then, basically, they morph it into Dwight's welcome back party.
Yes.
When Michael convinces him to come back.
Yep.
Other than that, there's really nothing much to...
No, those are the big points.
Yeah. Oh, Angela tries to admit that she's in a relationship with Dwight, and Michael is too stupid to understand, so he just thinks Dwight's such a good guy. And then we have episode 14, Ben Franklin.
Awesome stuff.
Where it's right before Phyllis's wedding, which is what we're going to talk about this week. So they have bridal showers and
bachelor,
boy shower.
Bachelor party-esque thing. That was a sneeze by
God
Achilles.
Bless you.
Achilles is in studio this week. He's gross.
So anyway, they have like a boy shower because Michael couldn't figure out what the equivalent was.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bachelor party, by the way.
Yes.
And so Packer makes a really quick, like, just touches
little
the
cameo.
Beginning of the episode. Yeah. It says, Michael, you have to get a stripper. So, being separate but equal, they got a stripper for the ladies, too. But Jim decides to do a Scholastic Benjamin Franklin impersonator, essentially.
Yes.
Whereas the men got a
actual dancer,
worker,
yeah.
Elizabeth, and you know
things go awry from there.
Yeah, I mean
Ben
really.
Franklin wants to plow Pam.
Yo, she's very saucy.
Yes.
But it was a really funny episode overall.
Yeah, we both ranked
it. I think we ranked
it,
pretty high. Yeah, and Jim and Pam.
Jim and Pam do Jim and Pam things where they don't link up and everybody's wondering,
up,
when
Jim,
will it happen?
But Jim was, like, kind of distant from Pam this time. Like, he wasn't, like, flirting with them.
Yes, he was. They were flirting at the fiesta when Andy put his fist through the wall.
Oh,
and like,
yeah.
They
Andy
were flirting.
Punches a wall because he gets called out on his shit.
Yeah, it's the same Jim and Pam shit.
Yeah.
Whatever. And,
so
it continues on this week, as we'll touch on.
Yes.
So,
Kevin, are you ready to jump right into Season 3, Episode 15? Phyllis's wedding!
You're too excited. Yeah.
I love this episode.
It's
I'm
good.
I'm starting it off with that.
It's good. And it opens up with Jim and Dwight at their desks, and Jim explains how he's doing, like, a Pavlovian experiment.
Yeah, Pavlov's dogs. Yeah. I learned about this in college.
So every time he reboots his computer, it makes, like, the noise, doot-doot, and he offers Dwight an Altoid.
Yes.
And they show him he does it several times.
Oh, my God. He does it, like, 30 times in this montage.
And at the time, at the last one, his computer reboots, and Dwight just sticks his hand out.
Doesn't even look up. His hand is out.
And Jim goes, whoa, what are you doing? And Dwight goes, I don't know. And then he's moving his mouth around. He goes, my mouth tastes bad.
Like, all of a sudden.
Yeah. So Jim's experiment worked and made Dwight look like an idiot. And unbeknownst to Dwight. And I got to say, this like prank on Dwight.
Yeah.
I like these more because it uses Dwight's...
pride and
confidence. It's not physical. Like we talked about the physical stuff, like moving Dwight's desk, stabbing Dwight's exercise ball,
putting his stapler in Jell-O.
Yeah, like physically, like destroying property or like putting Dwight in harm's way.
Oh yeah, so mind fucking him is even better.
I think it is better in a way. There's no physical harm, and he's using Dwight's pride against him, or his knowledge, as we'll see in the next episode, his alleged knowledge. So, like, I'm okay with that. It was a fun cold open.
Yes.
It was a nice take on something.
It was very lighthearted. I enjoyed it very much.
So the show proper opens up with Phyllis's wedding, and they're outside of the church. It's her, her bridesmaids, her parents, and apparently she has four sisters, I think.
Yeah.
And they're all women, matronly women, like
they
Phyllis.
They are very matronly. And, but you have to think, Phyllis is what, in her 40s, as we've
Yeah, 40s or 50s even. Yeah.
Well, no, she's the same age as Michael.
Okay, so 40s. That's, I keep forgetting that. But, so they're all getting pictures, and Michael's trying to sneak into the photos.
No, he's in the photos.
Yeah, well, then the photographer calls him out. So Michael does a talking head where he talks about how he's in the wedding. He is pushing Phyllis's dad down the aisle with her because he's in a wheelchair.
He's co-giving her away.
Yeah, he says, it's a big day for me, employer of the bride. In a way, I'm basically paying for this wedding.
My God.
So we then go to a Phyllis talking head where she said she included Michael just to get 6 weeks off for her honeymoon. And then a Pam talking head where she says the invitation, she holds up the invitations and it says P&R. For Phyllis and Robert.
Yes.
And she says these are what she had for Pam and Roy. It's like getting invited to her own wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go, and we go right back outside the church, and everybody's walking in with gifts and that. And Stanley and Jim each got toasters.
Yeah.
And Stanley's like, oh, damn. You know, he's like all mad. Well, not mad, but just like.
He's just frustrated.
Oh, stupid.
Now somebody's going to have an extra toast.
Yeah, we already got a toaster comment from Stanley. That's right. So Angela and Dwight meet up in the parking lot, awkwardly trying not to look like they're with each other.
I wonder if that's the same toaster he got for Pam and Roy.
It probably is. He
re-gifted. Oh, that's so funny. Sorry. That totally just hit me when you said it was this, another toaster comment from Stanley.
Yeah, because that's what he got them. So he just re-gifted it.
Oh, he 1,000% did. So this really is like a repeat wedding. Yeah.
And then, so Dwight and Angela meet up. She looks like Jackie Onassis, or Jackie Kennedy.
Right? She has a pillbox hat on. Yes.
So Dwight does a talking head where he says, the Schrutes get married standing in their own graves.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds,
It makes the funerals very romantic, but the wedding's a very gloom.
Very bleak affair.
But also, he tells Angela that she's as beautiful as the Queen of England.
Yeah, and she's very, like... Thank you, Dwight. Now walk. We're going to go left. Yeah. So they don't want to be seen with each other.
Break left.
Now this scene was too weird for me. When Michael goes into Phyllis before the wedding.
Yeah.
And he's trying to be like talking about sex on her wedding night, and then he farts.
Are you afraid of pleasing?
Yeah. Bob and then tonight? Like Phyllis just kicks him out, and Michael does a talking head where he's.
No, I love it. He's like, are you fixed on that hair? You might want to just cover.
Yeah, he starts
bald
fucking
spot.
With her hair.
He's like, do you want to cover the bald spot? And it's like, oh my God.
There's no filter on Michael Scott.
None.
He does a talking head where he says he's only been in one other wedding. And it was his mom and Jeff.
Oh.
And this shows him in the conference room watching this grainy footage from his youth. He's 9 years old. Seriously. There's a ring there. It looks like the Zapruder film.
That kid looks...
Is it the kid from
Fondle
Bundle?
I think it's the kid from Fondle Bundle. Because, like, creepy.
Yeah.
Like Michael Scott.
And Michael's talking about how... He had to be the ring bearer, and he peed his pants, and then...
His pants got wet.
Yes, and then they show in the video, he picks the ring, he throws it, and he goes, I hate you! And then it immediately clips to Jeff's dog walking as the ring bearer has it tied to its back or whatever. And Michael's pissed because, well, that dog peed on everything afterwards, and nobody cared about that.
Nobody said boo.
So, Jim and Dwight are entering the church, and Dwight lets off a quote that I've seen in many a gym.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Where he said, I probably use this once a month.
There's too many people on this earth. We need a new plague.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's so true.
Anybody who's ever been gridlocked in traffic, I assume, has said something along those lines.
We're in a city. Subway. Really, the possibility.
Anywhere there's people, especially if you're like me.
Yeah,
like I
crotchety old man.
Can't fucking deal with it. So Jim convinces him that maybe there's so many people here because some of them are wedding crashers.
Yes.
So Dwight says he's going to smoke them out. That so then if he does that, he won't have to get Phyllis a gift.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that works.
That's the long and short of it.
Yeah.
So then like we kind of get like images of like the different people in the office and the church. Toby has a date and she's a complete smoke show.
Yo,
legit
she's
smoke
hot.
Show. Yes, she's hot. And Kevin is like, where'd you meet her? And Toby's like, oh, at the gym? And, of course, Kevin just starts laughing. Yeah. Like, no, she's a hooker. You paid for her.
Where'd you buy her?
And Kelly wore white.
Yo.
Because she wants to upstage the bride.
Well, and a tiara.
It was
Let's
it?
Not
oh,
forget,
I didn't notice
she
that.
Had a tiara in her hand. She goes, there's an emergency. The emergency is I look really good in white.
So she's kind of like a female Michael in a way.
She is. I love Kelly Kapoor because she's over the top, but goddamn it, she's a selfish asshole.
So then we cut to the back of the church where Michael is... waiting in the wings with Albert.
In the vestibule.
Yeah, Albert, Phyllis's Albert. Dad. Albert?
Albert.
Oh, it's Albert? Albert? I thought it was Albert.
I'm pretty sure it's Albert.
Albert's a weird name.
I will look it up.
Okay, but anyway, he's got him in his wheelchair and he's all... Michael's more, like, nervous than anybody else involved. So, the door opens and Michael's walking him down with Phyllis. And Pam looks at the camera. She goes, "That's my dress." So it's just another thing that got ripped off from her wedding.
Yeah, she has the same friggin' dress. Yeah. Which, I mean,
which has been modified, I'm sure.
But I mean, like, how would Phyllis have known? Well, I know she did show Phyllis her dress.
Yeah, because Pam planned everything at the office.
At the office.
So,
God damn it, Phyllis.
And if you're not having a wedding, it's fair game. Let's be honest, it's fair game.
No, it is. I mean, there's people that I know that after I got married last year, I saw, like, little bits of my wedding in theirs, but...
People like to... I mean, it's not like you're an artist and somebody's copyright infringing.
I had a beautiful wedding. Why wouldn't somebody want
to
copy it?
It was all right. I've been to good weddings. Yeah.
And mine among them.
A time or two.
By the way, it is Albert.
Is it? You Googled that shit?
I Googled it.
Albert, okay.
Albert Lappin.
So halfway down the aisle... Albert stops Michael.
Fucking
he breaks it and he stands up. Michael pushes him back down. Michael doesn't know what's going on, apparently.
No.
So Albert stands up and he walks Phyllis the rest of the way.
Yep.
So Michael turns to the camera and says, "This is bullshit," because this is his moment. So he obnoxiously drags the wheelchair up the aisle.
The most obnoxious.
Clang! 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 He's just smacking it off pews, just making noise. Then he gets to the front and, like, saunters in. He goes in between all the groomsmen and, like, finds a place. So, as this is happening, we see Creed arrive. He's in the basement, I guess, or, like, the hall. And he takes somebody's card off of a gift and puts his own on. Yeah, he just takes it as his own.
Yeah.
Which, from what we know about Creed, that's pretty on brand. So then we go back to the church, and the minister, priest, whatever, is doing I do's. And he goes to Bob Vance, of Vance Refrigeration, as he says, and Bob says, "I do." And Michael jumps out of line and just starts going, "Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever, Mr. and Mrs. Bob Vance!" And everybody just looks at him and stares. And then the guy asks Phyllis, and she says, "I do." And then he goes, "Well, you may now kiss the bride." And everybody starts clapping, and Michael does it again. And he acts like, "Oh, and then see, it worked that time."
Yep.
Doesn't realize, I don't think, that... Well, I think he did realize he made an ass out of himself the first time.
Oh, he totally did. But he wanted to be the first one to announce them
as a couple.
He wants
to be the focal
center
point.
Of attention. Yeah. Absolutely. Even on Phyllis's wedding day.
So then they go back to the... They go to the reception. And Michael's going down the line, and him and Bob meet and have words. And then he sees Albert... And says, "Oh, look, you're sitting down now. Look at that." Because he's sitting in his wheelchair.
Bet you can hear me, too.
And Albert's just like, And you know, I got to say, I actually take Michael's side a bit in this one.
Yeah.
That guy should have told him, like, "This is the big plan I have. I haven't walked in 5 years. I want to walk her down the aisle."
Exactly.
And maybe Michael would have understood, but he, like, totally did dick him over with that.
Oh, he did, yeah. I mean, he put the brakes on the wheelchair, so the guy couldn't, like, Michael couldn't do anything.
Yeah. And like, Phyllis should have, like, explained to her dad, like, "Yo, he's kind of a high-maintenance guy. Like,
beware. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
You can't do that."
So this is what happens.
Yeah.
So Kelly sits with Pam at a table and says how...
You skipped Angela talking to Phyllis.
Oh, good.
Saying about how, "Oh, your dress is so white. So white, in fact, that my eyes are burning."
Yes, because she's not a virgin, I'm assuming.
Which, I mean, the grid, Angela's not either. So, really, can she throw...
Hold on, we don't know they did. We don't know they had sex. Just making out. Their pants were still on in that
the
shed.
The Birkins, yeah.
So, Kelly sits with Pam and says how awful it must be to be at her own wedding. And Pam plays it off as Kelly tells her she should just get drunk and tell everyone she's pregnant.
That's what I would do.
Yes. So Dwight is, like, watching the buffet table.
Yep.
And there's an old man who butters a biscuit and puts it in his pocket. And this guy, I'm trying to think who he looked like. I couldn't really place it, though. He's just, like, kind of an old dude with, like, the slick hair. And the Arn Anderson aviator glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And,
He reminds me of, like, a TV sitcom grandpa from the 90s.
Yeah, something like that. And Dwight goes over, and the guy doesn't know who Phyllis and Bob are.
He has no idea.
Yeah, and Dwight's like, "Well, you're stealing food. You don't know who they are. You're getting out of here. You're a wedding crasher."
Yeah, you can go crash another wedding.
Yeah, he takes the guy out. The guy seems good-natured, though. Like, "Oh, you caught me."
Yeah. So he's like, "Well, okay."
We get a talking head of Kevin, who talks about the weddings they've played. Two of them. One for the bassist and one for the guitarist.
Scrantonicity is higher.
That's right, Scrantonicity, as we covered in Pam's wedding planning episode.
Yes.
And Kevin is the drummer and singer. And he's wearing his sweet fedora.
All of the Monkees.
Yeah. What?
The Monkees.
Oh, Mickey Dolenz was the singer. Yeah, he was. Yeah, that was really a thing back in the 70s. I'm swearing to God. And also, I think the latest one to do it, their debut album, Three Doors Down.
Really?
Lead singer was the drummer. And if you look at the CD jacket, it says Brad, I think his name was Brad Arnold or something. And it was like, singer and drums.
Wow.
Yeah. Because that album, I think, is an underrated 90s. Because I think it's 99.
I can't even touch
Kryptonite?
Like, oh.
Loser?
Yeah.
I'm a... Not a... That was Bex. I was thinking... No. Yeah. Well, no, sooner or later, you know, all the day. You know? No, that's actually a pretty good album, actually, overall.
Well, I didn't know Kryptonite was off their...
Yeah, debut album.
Debut, yeah.
So, Kevin makes an announcement that... If anyone has seen Uncle Albert, he is missing. He's very old and has dementia. And brown eyes. And it's a very serious situation.
The family is very worried.
And then they just go, Roxanne! They just start playing Roxanne by the Police. So as they're playing and people start dancing, Roy sits with Pam. And he mentions the flowers.
He's like, he remembered. Really nice, Phyllis. Or Phyllis has good taste. That's what he says.
Those flowers are the same color as the ones I got for our senior prom.
Yeah.
And Pam is like, Roy, she stole all of my ideas.
She straight up like glares at him for a second.
Yeah, and Roy even cops up. He goes, well, I'm sorry. I wasn't really much included in the wedding planning.
Involved.
Yeah, and he goes, it's kind of funny because I'm the one who wanted to get married.
Yep.
And Pam just kind of like, Oh, Roy.
Oh, Roy. You're trying so hard.
So they go and Uncle Albert's on the streets.
Oh, my God. He's trying to cross the street and there's horns.
Because it turns out the guy... Dwight kicked out Uncle Albert. And he's like, just like looking in the streets and like walking around. It's kind of funny.
Oh, my God.
So we go back and it's toast. And the best man gives like a toast.
You're one hell of a bowler.
He looks like a guy who eats beef sandwiches.
Yes.
Like a guy who lives at Arby's. He has like this mustache and everything. So then Michael jumps up and takes the mic. And he says, for the next 40 minutes, I am going to be your guide on the tour of love or whatever.
Yeah, the relationship of Phyllis and Bob.
Yes. So he introduces himself and says things like four times. Mm-hmm. He goes, I'm Michael Scott, Phyllis's boss, says something stupid. I'm Michael Scott, Phyllis's boss, says something stupid. Then he goes, I'm Michael Scott, Phyllis's boss, and as they said in The Princess Bride, marriage! Which, funny thing, actually, yep. I didn't go through with it. So,
you didn't.
Mary got married last year, as you heard, and I got the opportunity to do a reading at the church.
Yes.
Where I would go up there and, you know, be like, oh, blah, 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 blah.
Jesus loves you.
Yes. And I got up there, and for months... She dared me, like...
Oh, I wanted him to do this.
I want you to get up to the podium in the church and just go, marriage!
Marriage is what brings us together today.
And I was so close. And I got up there and I said one word. And you just started laughing. And then I had... And I was like, oh, God, she...
I'm gonna lose it.
And we picked this reading that was like a poem almost.
You picked the reading.
I did. It was like, hark! The archer's bow sees the deer in the distance, like the love of two lovers rolling in the meadow. And
I think that's what it started with. It was hark.
Yeah, it was.
And I lost it.
I was just trying to get through this fucking reading, and she's like snickering and like got her.
I'm trying not to snort on the altar.
It's fucking ridiculous. I didn't say marriage,
but our mom would have. She just glared at him the whole time she was walking up, like Catholic guilt, Catholic. Guilty.
Our mother and our grandmother would have been deeply, deeply
Grandpa
unsatisfied.
Would have slapped you.
Yeah, he would have used his cane and beat the shit out of me. So he's going on with more shit. If they were a celebrity couple, their name would be Flob. And in high school, Phyllis was known as Easy Rider, which Bob, like, jerks his head.
Yeah,
like,
he's like, enough!
Yeah. So, like...
Oh, he also talks about welding.
Yeah, oh, because they're both gold medals.
He got the wrong definition.
Yeah, he used wedding. Yeah, he's an idiot.
He used welding instead of wedding.
So Bob runs him off the stage, basically. Says, you're out of here. Michael says, I hate you! Just
behind
like,
a curtain, yeah, though.
Just like he did at his mom's wedding.
Yep.
And that's it. So then we see Jim, getting drinks with Pam. And
while Message in a Bottle is playing.
Yes, and they're flirting. Mm-hmm. And it's stupid.
They are.
Jim does a talking head with a hypothetical. Well, if Pam and I were saying... It doesn't matter because I'm with Karen.
No. He said if Pam was interested, not if we were single, if Pam was interested, which carries a completely different connotation than if we were both single. Yeah. Because she is single.
Yeah. Well, not, well, I guess.
She's, he doesn't know that Roy's been.
Anyway, he just does the hypothetical.
Yeah.
And then Dwight is the bouncer, basically. And he he like blocks Mike. He thwarts him from coming back in.
Who is hiding behind one of the bridesmaids. Yes.
Which, there was ample room for him to hide. So we go back and there's a slow dance. Jim and Pam meet eyes. Yeah. Like, they, as Jim's looking over Karen, her and Jim meet eyes, and she gets up and leaves. It's awkward. And then Roy approaches Pam on the side as "You Were Meant for Me" by Jewel, which is a lovely song. A
beautiful song.
And it's playing, and she's like, "I thought they only played police songs." And Roy said, "Well, I paid them $20 because this was our song. It was their song." So he goes, "Would you like to dance?" And he takes Pam. They go outside the door, and they start dancing. And then the camera zooms out, and we see Dwight and Angela on the front lawn of this hall
dancing. No, like in the, like a corner.
Yeah, like under a tree.
Hiding, so, hiding basically. Yeah.
And they're swaying back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then Michael's sitting on a bench all alone and singing the song to himself.
Oh my God, it was so sad. It was
pretty poignant, actually.
So sad.
So Roy and Pam leave. And,
well, yeah, he's like, "You want to get out of here?"
Yeah, and she's like, "Yes." So then they go and then she grabs her shawl, I think.
And she had a coat.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. And, like, Jim sees them leave, and he's, like, all sad Jim again. Fuck you, Jim! I'm fucking over it, alright?
Like, you're literally dancing with your girlfriend.
Yeah, like, fuck you, you unscrupulous piece of shit. Oh, I'm over it. God. This one, like, ugh.
No, yeah, you know what? Like, rewatching this, like,
it does make you feel that way, doesn't
it? Maybe Pam and Jim are a little too overly romanticized with Jim's actions while he's with Karen, because he's being really shitty right now.
He's being totally shitty to her. Yeah. And so they leave, and Jim does another talking head where he's like, "Well, you know what's not a hypothetical?" He gets all defensive. Yeah. "You know what's not a hypothetical? I'm happy I'm with Karen."
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
While she's singing one of my favorite police songs. "Every little thing she does is magic.
Yeah, she's up on the stage.
Everything you do just turn me on."
She's having fun.
She's having a great ass time. I want to be Karen Filippelli at this next wedding.
Because Pam is...
She's a wallflower.
Oh, God. And, like, Jim doesn't want... Like, I don't know. Karen Pam's just seems much more dynamic. So...
Okay, here's the thing. Pam's a wallflower who only opens herself up with people she's really close with, like Jim.
Well, I've got those tendencies.
Oh, no. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But then you have Karen, who's the polar opposite, who is very outgoing. She's a salesperson. She has to be outgoing. She has to be warm and welcoming, which she is.
Maybe I'm just jumping to her defense so much because I see how shitty Jim is. So shitty.
You hate Jim so much. You are willing to defend Karen.
I came in, like, you know, watching the show years ago. I came into this blind. Not blind, but, like, knowing, like, oh, Jim and Pam end up together.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. And, like, I, you know, everybody, like, says, oh, my God, relationship goals and all this shit. And, like, I'm like, oh, okay, like, this is going to be fun to see their love. And, like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, this is horrible. Not horrible, but, like, it, you're interested to a point, but at the same time, you're not really rooting for Jim. I find myself in that category.
Watching it, rewatching it, and critically looking at every single thing he does, Jim is not treating Karen the way he should here.
He's treating Pam the way he should be treating Karen.
Yeah.
And she cares about him.
He shouldn't be dating anybody if he still has those strong feelings.
Yeah, if you're like hung up on somebody, the worst thing you can do, the last thing you should do is date someone else.
Yeah.
And especially since
you're just putting that person in more
pain. Correct me if I'm wrong, he even said out loud, "She's a rebound," right? At the Christmas party. So, like, I don't know. I'm not going to let that color, like, my view of entire episodes or anything. But, like, these parts, it's just like, I roll my eyes, you know?
It's funny, because, like, I always saw this meme, and now it's more relatable, I guess. Oh. And it's, I always hated Karen Filippelli until I realized why I shouldn't. Because the only thing she's ever done was date a guy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, shit.
But she got in the way of true love. Yeah. Bullshit. If we're going to take these characters, if we're going to take Jim and Pam as like these great characters who love each other and we should root for them, shouldn't we also take Karen on the same basis and say she didn't do anything wrong?
Like, she didn't.
All she did was love somebody too, and he treated her like trash.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway.
Getting off on a tangent. So the bouquet toss comes up. and Toby's hot ass date catches.
But did you see why his hot ass date?
Somebody
catches?
Like botched
Ryan.
Oh, totally, that's what it was.
He
okay,
hit it away from Kelly.
Swatted it like a badminton.
I had to. I saw it. And I was like, "There's no fucking way I've missed this this many times." I rewound it. I was like, "It is." Ryan literally went up and just like volleyball spiked it like, away from Kelly,
like Greg Fokker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Toby's hot ass date gets it. And she goes over and she like hugs Toby and they kiss on the
yeah.
lips. And then there's a talking head of Toby where he does like this lame
fist bump.
And he just says his name. He goes, Toby! Which to me was the highlight
Yo,
of the
that's
episode.
That's the win for Toby.
He got happy.
It's the best day of his fucking like 3 years.
Since his daughter was born. Sasha. So Michael, we go back outside. Michael's on a bench talking to Uncle Al.
Yep.
And like they're having this stilted, weird conversation. And he says, he tells Mike that him and Phyllis are a great team.
Yep.
And Michael's like, yeah, we are a great team. And then Uncle Albert goes, you know what else was a great team? The Boston Celtics. And Michael just name drops Robert Parrish, which
right.
is so awesome. Like of all the great Celtics players to name, that's the one who stuck out to him was Robert Parrish. And the wedding lets out, and everybody's, like, marching out.
Mm-hmm.
And Phyllis is with Bob Vance on Vance Refrigeration. And they see Michael, and he, like, goes up to apologize to her. That,
yeah.
like, he just wanted this day to be great for her.
Yeah.
He wanted, like, everything to be perfect.
He felt terrible.
And she smiles, and she's all happy, and she goes, you found Uncle Albert!
Mm-hmm.
Like, she thinks Michael found him.
Oh, my God.
And she's, like, happy, and then Michael's happy because she's happy.
Yep.
Which is actually kind of nice. So then Bob and Phyllis get into a Vance Refrigeration
yep.
truck and drive off with the cans on the back. And then we get a talking head of Michael where he says, let them eat cake, like Margaret Thatcher said
oh
about
my
marriage.
God.
And the end card is him. It's when Phyllis and Bob are cutting the cake and they do that thing. You and Scotty didn't do this, right? When you shoved the cake in each other's face?
No, we agreed that we were going to be nice, but then Scott was like, you can shove it in my face if you want. I don't want to get it
he
on
just
your
wants
dress,
all
though.
The cake, though.
That's yeah, like, so I did
this was before he was
piece.
Keto, right?
No, he uh-huh. was, but we broke keto for the wedding and honeymoon.
Okay, because like, that is like my least favorite part of any wedding.
No,
is...
Scott asked, he was like, you can shove it in my face if you want. I don't want to get it on your dress. So I got like a tiny piece, and I like put it on the side of his mouth.
Gotcha.
It wasn't like... obnoxious, though.
But they're doing that, and Michael runs up and, like, puts icing on his
well,
face.
He's
like,
oh my God, Phyllis, you look like a clown. Get yeah. me, get me.
Yeah, and he's, like, trying to get involved with
awkward.
It.
Awkward.
And everyone's just silent.
Yep.
So that's the end of the episode.
That's it.
I gave it, I initially gave it a 4. I'm going to give it a 4.3, deducting for everything involving Jim.
You can't deduct because you don't like
no,
Jim.
No, I thought it was, see, the thing I liked about this is it was a straight comedy episode with... bits of character put in because
yep.
I said, like, remember we argued about, like,
it's
you're like,
hard.
Well, they can't,
you can't
do both.
Do every
they
episode.
Did it. They did because we got a deep look into Michael's psyche.
Again.
Yeah, again.
Childhood
He's
trauma.
So damaged. So damaged.
Ass.
So.
I gave this episode a 5.
It's good.
I, you know what? I was in a bad mood when I sat down to watch these episodes. I really was. Mm. I did not want to do it. I just had a really, I had a rough week. You know, I'm going on vacation next week, so our little brother...
Well, hold on, we're going to talk about that later.
But anyway, like, I was just like, I have so much stuff to do, but I have to get this in because we have to record this episode.
Uh-huh.
And I literally laughed the whole time.
It was funny.
Like, it got me in such a better mood. This episode was a 5 for me. I loved it. Everybody had a little moment.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley with the toaster.
Creed.
Creed.
Yeah.
Creed with the car.
Like kicking out wedding crashers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good.
Kelly in the white dress. Ryan slapping the bouquet away from her.
And Toby got his triumphant
Toby
moment.
Got
of
a
Toby.
Win.
Yeah.
Toby got a win.
Fuck yeah. She
the
okay.
only person I missed was Meredith.
Yeah, Meredith wasn't.
That was the only person that we didn't get something from. But everybody else had their own little moment. I'm assuming Meredith was drunk
yeah,
at the
was,
wedding.
Yeah, well, they could have played that in. Like, she's,
oh
like, naked
God.
In the bathroom.
That
would have
been almost too much.
So, there's only one thing, really. Because, like, I mean, we talked about the Jim Pam stuff.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think the Michael stuff is kind of just reinforcing things we've already talked about in past episodes.
Yeah, he's damaged.
Like, his childhood and him just wanting to be a people pleaser.
Yeah.
To the point where he sabotages things unknowingly because
yeah,
he's trying
to make
too
it better.
Hard. Yeah. There's one thing I do want to talk about, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the Talking Heads featuring Jim and Pam. And because it happens again next episode, there's one with Jim,
mm-hmm.
where it doesn't seem like they want to talk about their relationship, But, like, they're being prodded. Like, the producer asks them about the hype.
Yeah. So he's answering. The documentary team is really, like, pushing it on them.
Yeah. And what do you think about that? How do you feel about it? And why isn't that something that is, like, kind of shown more often?
You like know what the I mean? Documentary team?
Like, them push. It's because this is the first time I feel like you feel like the producers of the mockumentary, the documentary, mm-hmm. the real documentary going on in the show, are pushing a storyline with the characters of the show, the actual. Like, I mean, see, it's meta.
Like real life.
Yeah. The real life people of Jim and Pam, the real life producers in the show, are like pushing a narrative between them to air on their show. Right? Doesn't it seem that way?
It seems like that, but in the okay, I might get like fucking crucified for this. By whom? Sorry. By our listeners.
Okay.
But you have to think these people are being they're being taped, recorded.
Yes.
For 10 hours a day probably.
Well, apparently so, after work as well. As
well,
we
that's
say.
What I mean. Like it really everything is kind of fair game, so they might just be taking the most interesting aspects of their lives. And really focusing on that, because it's got to be pretty mundane most of the time.
I think the thing that stood out to me, though, is that we are approaching the end of season three almost. I mean, there's only, what, six?
There's 23 episodes.
So there's seven episodes left after this. So we're approaching the end of season three. This is the first time that it stuck out to me that that is something that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just Jim and Pam talking about themselves willy-nilly. They're being prodded by unseen, off-camera people.
We also
and I don't know how to feel about that.
But you have to think, if we are doing a mockumentary-style, documentary-style, we don't know when those talking heads occurred. So that could have been right after
they're saw in the wedding. Them make they're in the wedding.
But what I'm saying, though, is like it could be right after or right before they made eye contact.
Oh, I like to think that everything is in. I mean, like if they're at a place, sequence. If they're at everything is sequential. But if they're at a place and then you see a talking head from the office, like obviously it's not the same. But like they were getting talking heads of them at the wedding.
At the wedding.
So I assume that everything is sequential there. But I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this, because it just stood out to me as something that they haven't done. Like, obviously, every time somebody does a talking head about something going on in the office, they're answering something about, oh, Michael did this, or what do you think about layoffs, or something like that. This is the first time where it's been a personal issue that these people are answering to. You know what I mean?
I guess. I mean,
because usually it's like, oh, well, Michael does this on Wednesdays, or something like that, or, well, I heard about the layoffs, I don't know what we're going to do. Like, stuff like that. This is the first, like, you don't hear Stanley, like, well, Phyllis is getting married or something. Like, they don't talk about their personal lives. None of them. Like,
I've been
the only
sitting
thing,
across from that woman and her stinky perfume.
Yeah, the only thing is, like, Oscar talking about being gay. But that's only because it was brought out in the office, so they had to ask him about it. So, it just kind of stuck out like a sore thumb to me that they're the fake producers on the show were pushing a narrative with the character, like, you know.
Well, like I said, though, they might just be taking, like, hey, Jim is really freaking boring, other than the fact that he flirts with the receptionist, and he's dating another salesperson.
So that's what they're going with.
This is what we're going with.
Yeah.
But I mean, it just might be the most interesting aspect of their lives.
Otherwise, it's a really funny episode.
I loved it. A lot of fun. I love this episode.
So, I don't know. Do you want to add anything else?
Did you break wind?
Yeah, when he asked Phyllis if she farted. Like, it's just weird. That whole thing, because he's, like, glassy-eyed and, like... just weird.
I love this. This was a 5 for me. I loved this episode.
Nothing else
and
you want to talk about?
And the police music. Oh, the police music. Right
the, entire wedding is backed up by Kevin singing police and Sting songs.
Roxanne!
It's perfect.
It is. But no, I'm good on this episode. Like I said, 5 star, 5 star, 5 star.
All right, rock and roll, man.
Yeah.
So next we're going to do season 3, episode 16. What's it called?
It is called Business School.
All right, and we will be right back after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceMedation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceMedation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and HistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceMedation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome back to the show. This is the intermission halftime portion of the show, where we put ourselves over, as well as our partners at Place to Be Nation. So right now I'm going to tell you what's going on over there. First off, check out the Hard Traveling Fanboys as they continue their annual Walking Dead month with a guest Jennifer Smith, and they count down the worst episodes in the TV show's history. On DC4U, they continue their DC Comics Best Horror offerings with a review of 2019 Swamp Thing pilot. They tried to bring that show back?
I guess.
I had no idea.
Oh my god, I had no idea.
So this week in the NFL hits weekly as well, with Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of games and previewing the upcoming weekend's batch. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother and Sister Rewatch podcast.
Womp, womp, womp.
Also, as we are in October, Scott continues his look at the classic Universal Monsters in the latest edition of Pop Goes the Classics with 1941's The Wolfman.
Mm.
Pop Goes the Movies, looking at the long-awaited sequel Zombieland, Double Tap. Join Andy and Jenny as they discuss the latest major movie release.
I want to hear about that. My husband and I love Zombieland, the original, obviously.
Is that Woody Harrelson?
Yep.
Okay, I never saw it.
Oh my god, we loved it. We really want to see the second one. Yeah.
Well, you could watch it on vacation. You'll have lots of free time.
We're going to Disney. Yeah, we're not going to have free time for shit.
Lame. Anyway, the NBA team is back as Adam and Andrew provide a slew of team previews for the upcoming NBA regular season. On the latest episode of The Great Debate, Andy welcomes Nate Milton, Peter Winson, and Matt Souza to discuss a variety of topics in sports and pop culture. On the newest show, Diamond Conversations, the premiere episode features an interview with the 2006 first-round pick of the San Diego Padres, Matt Antonelli. Yesterday, the San Diego Padres announced the newest hiring for their team. They got a new manager.
Okay.
Guess what this guy's name is.
Oh, God. Is this... I don't even want to think.
Jace Tingler. They hired a gigolo. That's essentially what happened. Jace Tingler. How hilarious
Jace
is that?
Tingler.
And that guy, like, the players have to look at this guy and take him seriously.
Oh, God, that poor man.
Like, just change, like, don't go by Jace. I think Jace makes it worse. Like, Tingler, okay, people have weird last names.
Jason Tingler.
Like, just go by Jay.
But, like, yeah, like, Jay Tingler.
Jay Tingler sounds better than Jace. Like, Jace sounds like an anime character or something stupid, you know? In a special holiday edition of Laugh-In Theater, Andy hosts Ginny and Miranda to live watch It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Oh, God.
Keeping with the season. The Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is starting soon. Make sure to like our tournament page so you won't miss a single matchup. Get on it, guys. I am geeked for this.
I am, too.
It's going to get me through the fall. So, also, check out a brand new podcast feed brought to you by our very own Jennifer Smith. The Ginny Position can be found on Podbean, iTunes, and your favorite podcatcher app. It will be the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, and lots of fun new content. Mm-hmm. She actually has a very diverse set of content up already that I've listened to.
Oh.
There's one where she tells, like, somebody submitted a story, and she, like, read it, almost like an audiobook. A short story. It's pretty good. It's fun.
Hmm.
Also, for the month of October, Place to Be Nation is holding the first annual Halloween Movie Challenge. We're giving you suggestions on what movies you should watch leading up to All Hallows Eve. And when you do, go on social media and let us know by using the hashtag PTBN Halloween Movie Challenge. But don't stop there. Every time you watch a scary or silly horror movie or special, let us know and we'll add to our list. You got any you've been watching lately?
No.
I watched Gremlins the other night.
Oh, how was it?
Gremlins was fucking amazing. It's great. I love Gremlins. I love these little animals, like these little lizard creatures going to, like, drinking beer and smoking cigarettes. It's just awesome. Anyway, over on the PTBN Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Podcast, JT, Scott, and guest Todd Weber kick off a whole new decade of pay-per-views with the Royal Rumble 1990. On the latest PTBN Extreme 3-Way Dance, JT, John, and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with three episodes of ECW Hardcore TV from May 1994. On main event number 135, Scott, Nate, and Steve welcome Jordan Duncan to talk about the past 2 weeks of programming, including AEW, NXT, and SmackDown. Row 1, Seat 1, number 26, Ben hosts actor John Keating for an in-depth interview about his wrestling fandom, career, and life in L.A. The latest episode of Talking WCW has Ginny, Tim, and Greg discussing the Man Called Sting. Man Called Sting! as they delve into the three distinct eras of the Icon's illustrious WCW career. Sting is cool. You like Sting?
I love Sting.
Do you really? I'm not talking about the singer. I'm talking about the wrestler.
Oh, I like that Sting, then.
He's aight.
He's
Don't forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes, bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture. But don't forget about veteran columns like every Wednesday when they release the interesting and funny stories on the World Wide Web in Glenn's Weekly Walk. For college football fans, Scott Criscola and Logan Crossland have their weekly campus hot takes, looking back at the previous week and looking ahead to the biggest matchups. Catch their weekly column every Wednesday afternoon. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining the GWWE PPV and TV Match Ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. And vote for the sitcoms!
Yes, I am so happy.
Why?
About the sitcoms.
Are you?
I am.
Because I think there's going to be some sleepers in there, like Mork and Mindy.
I do, too. Like, there's going to be some ones where you go, oh my god, I forgot about that. That was such a good show.
Like what? Get Smart? Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Fresh Prince. Nobody forgets Fresh Prince.
I'm trying to think, like, do you think the Cosby Show will suffer if it gets put in there? Just because Bill Cosby liked to have a little fun back in the day?
Just because he likes to slip some stuff in some people's
He's
drinks.
A dirty, disgusting
He's
man.
He's an absolute dirtbag.
But I wonder, because, like...
But the actual show was very wholesome.
That's the show was had its moments of funny. Yeah. And, like, that's the thing, is, like, I don't know if you... If some people can separate...
like, cancel... culture.
Yeah, well, some people can separate, like, the artist from the person, or, like,
the
art from
saying.
The artist, if you will. Like, there's some things that I can't. Like, I go back and watch old wrestling, I can't watch Chris Benoit stuff. Because, like, that dude murdered his wife and son and killed himself. Like, it's dirty, disgusting shit. And, like, I can't watch a Benoit match. Like, every once in a while, I might, like, forget and just, okay, I'm gonna try it.
Yeah.
But, like, I can't do that. And then there's some, like, you know, celebrities or whatever, if they do music or something like that. Like, it's like, it depends. It's like if I care enough, I don't know.
I can't look at Britney Spears now and not think of her bald hitting a car with an umbrella.
Yeah, like having a nervous breakdown. Well, see, a nervous breakdown is not something you should hold against somebody.
No, but I'm just saying I can't not see
perception.
That.
Yeah, perception.
I mean, I'm so happy Britney's doing awesome. She's healthy as hell now. She looks great.
It's Britney, bitch. But I'm trying to think of like somebody else who did something horrible. Like Louis C.K., I still laugh at his comedy.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing, I mean, that's a nebulous story anyway because, like, you know, there's whatever. I'm not going to get into it here. But, like, I still laugh at his stuff. I can't watch Chris Benoit matches.
No.
I still laugh at Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
I still listen to Brand
What
New.
Did he do?
He went on a date with a girl, and he listened. I don't know. That's another thing where, like...
I've never heard
It's another thing where somebody tried to do shit to him, but, yeah.
But I love Brand New. I still listen to Brand New.
Yeah, even though Jesse Lacey's kind of a skeez. Something came out about Me Too with him, too.
Something came out. I don't... But that's just it. Like, I'm... There's other people in the band other than Jesse Lacey that did work very hard, incredibly hard.
And wrote
hard,
the music and performed it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not just him. So, well, yeah, I guess
and
if I buy anything Brand New, it's still helping him. But it's not like he's actively doing that now. He's married. Like,
no.
Well, I'm not saying, like, no, oh, no. Well, he's not doing it now, so it's totally fine. Like, that's not the position I'm taking. But, like, he has a wife and kid who also... had nothing to do with that, and why should they be punished for... It would be like saying, oh, your dad murdered a bunch of people, so you're a scumbag, too.
Yeah. Like, I just look at it as, like, rape and murder are the worst things in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
Bill Cosby's a rapist. I don't watch the Cosby Show. I don't watch his old specials or anything like that. And, like, Chris Benoit's a murderer. I don't watch his stuff.
Yeah.
And so, like... But then there's, like I said, those nebulous things, like the Louis C.K. thing, and it's like... Well, you know, I don't know. I just don't know anymore. Like, everything's all fucked up anymore, and yeah. I just don't know. So I'm going to watch it, but should I feel bad about laughing?
No, because I feel like not everything is black and white.
Because a lot of this stuff happened before these things came out, too.
Rape and murder are black and white.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
And from what I understand, I don't know the whole Louis C.K. thing, but, like, from what I understand, he was, like, masturbating in a room and a woman walked in.
Or she was watching or something. I don't know.
Like I said, I don't know the whole story, so I can't really have an opinion on it without knowing the whole story. All I know is that Chappelle was kind of just like, yeah, that's fucked up, but he's still funny.
and that's the thing is, like, I don't know. Because everybody has an opinion now. Yeah. And people will throw you under a bus if you laugh at the wrong person.
Which is why I had to, like, super quickly go, not that Jesse Lacy not doing it now is not okay. Yeah. Like,
well, and that's the thing is, like, we're doing this show about stuff that I think crosses that line.
Yeah.
Like the Michael Scott stuff, whether it's race or sexuality and stuff like that. A lot of it, like in 2005, might have flew. Or I don't know if it would now. Which is really weird position to be in.
Which is really funny because Steve Carell actually came out and said if they made The Office now, it never would have been popular. Yeah,
but guess what? It's still funny. It is. So anyway, getting off that topic, let's put ourselves over now.
All right, guys. So you always know you can hit us up at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com to email in any of your feedback, thoughts, concerns, or complaints.
Complain about what we just talked about.
Yeah.
Because we usually don't talk about that stuff.
No, we usually don't. We usually
keep it light.
Yeah. Oh, well, we got really dark there with CK and everything. But anyway, you can hit us up there if you want to email your feedback and have it read live on air. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. We like to keep a really light and fun page over there.
We don't talk about rape and murder on Twitter.
No, we don't. We talk about weddings. And, well, this wedding, actually. Phyllis's wedding.
Yeah, Phyllis's wedding.
And you guys can hit us up there at Brosis Podcast. We love your suggestions. We love your feedback. Like and share us around. We always appreciate that. Say hello to our new listeners, if we have any this week. What's up, guys?
I'm sure we will.
Hit us up, again, at Brosis Podcast on Twitter, and brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. I have a question, though.
About what?
I'd like to almost do, like, a Twitter poll, but then I'd like to get some feedback via email for those who don't have Twitter. Should we make a Facebook page? That's the one, like, one of the social media landings that we haven't touched.
I guess, and there's a part in this, actually... I'm going to circle back to what you just said, actually, and I didn't expect you to talk about that. But yeah, there's a part in this episode I want to circle back around to things like that.
Oh, okay.
So, what is this one again? This is Business School?
This one is Business School, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot to say about a certain part of this episode.
All right.
But because I think a lot of people will relate to it, and it was my favorite part of the episode because of how relatable it was.
Hmm.
And it doesn't have to do with Jim, I swear.
I'm not shocked.
Yeah, I mean, do you have anything else to add? Do you want to get into it?
No, just... wanted to let you guys know where to reach us.
Yep.
Let us know your thoughts. But seriously, if you think a Facebook page would be better, if you guys think that that's more easy to share our stuff on, let us know and we'll set that shit up.
That shit up. Our shit.
All right.
We tried to laugh our way through a really awkward segment that I did not see coming.
We did not plan to talk about rape and murder for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm just trying to laugh my way through it, which is probably making it worse because I probably shouldn't use the words rape and murder and then laugh. But here we are.
So here we are entering season 3, episode 16, Business School. So we have our cold open and Kevin walks into the office late. And Michael's kind of just sitting there on, like, this little end table that I never noticed was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he pops up and he's like, Kevin, why are you late? And Kevin's like, my tire popped. I almost went into a ditch. I almost died. And Michael's like, it's a very special day. Do you want to know why? He goes, because I almost died. And Michael just cuts him off. He's like, no. I am being honored at Ryan's Business School as a, what did you call it, visiting professor, a special lecturer, emeritus? What is emeritus?
Emeritus is like somebody who like for life. Like if I'm college...
Oh, like a guru almost?
No. Not like a life coach. I mean, like, if there's a professor who's been there for 50 years, they retire, they keep their title and they're professor emeritus. They're like seen in high esteem.
Yeah.
Like, if a coach is there for 30 years, they're coach emeritus if they retire and are seen high enough. Like, things like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, so anyway, and then basically Ryan's like, no, you're a guest speaker in one of my classes. And then in a talking head, he goes, you automatically get bumped up a letter grade if you bring your boss into class. And he goes, it's worth it, right?
Just like Phyllis. She saw an opening to use Michael for their professional
game,
for benefit.
And he's like, it's worth it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is this a mistake? So then we see Michael and Dwight in Michael's office packing for Ryan. Or yeah,
like he's going overnight.
Yeah. Did you notice what they were packing?
Big playing cards and Art of the Deal by Donald Trump.
Yes.
Yes.
I loved the giant playing cards, though. I didn't know if you'd catch that.
Yeah, I really wanted to see how they were utilized. We didn't get to see that, though.
So then Dwight and Michael are just going back and forth, and he's like, "What's the most inspirational thing I've ever said to you, Dwight?" He says, "Don't be an idiot. Changed my life." I think if I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do this? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
I took it to heart.
Right? So then Michael and Ryan are in the car on their way there, and Michael's like, "Do you think they'll throw their hats?" And I really love this part because Ryan's like, "Nobody's graduating, Michael. Like, I don't know what you're talking about." And Michael came up with this tagline, essentially. Like, if they do throw their hats, I have a line. "May your hats fly as high as your dreams."
And he thinks it's great.
I mean, I kind of think it's great.
Yeah.
In the right atmosphere. And Ryan's like, "It doesn't apply, Michael. Just no." So then we're back at the office, and Pam and Roy are, like, at her desk, like, flirting and talking. And
yeah, you'd swear he was Jim.
Right? And they're talking about Pam's art show that evening. Mm-hmm. And Roy said, "I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss it." And she's like, "Thanks." And he's, like, super kissing her ass. Like, he's sucking the poop out of her butt.
That's hot.
Right? So then Pam and a talking head, she's like, "Yeah, I'm really happy to be back with Roy." She says that it shows a maturity and dignity.
Yes. It does in a way.
In a way.
That they've got past their past problems.
And grew from it. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
But I noticed something, though, because after this, like, little snippet of a talking head, Roy's like, "All right, I'll talk to you later. I love you." And she goes, "You too."
Yeah, she doesn't say it.
She doesn't say it back.
There's another one, right? I think we're about to get... Well, in a minute, we'll get to it. There's another thing that he said.
Oh, how Jim doesn't...
No, not that. After that, with Pam. We'll get to it. Just keep going.
So then... I thought you meant immediately. No. Missed it. So then Jim is in a talking head, and he's just like, "I don't want to talk about it."
Yeah, he's irritated. He's like...
He's mad that Roy was back up
Pam
there.
And Roy are together. I'm with Karen. And Frangelina's with Brangelina. And yeah. He's like a bitch.
Yeah. He's like, meh, whatever.
Yeah, that's... fuck you, Jim.
Yeah.
You brought this on yourself. Anyway.
So anyway, Kelly's talking to Pam.
This is it.
And they're talking about Pam and Roy. And Pam's just like, "Yeah, you know, we just have such a solid foundation." And it's like, really, Pam?
Well, then Kelly goes, "Oh, it's so great that you're in love." And she just goes, "Yeah."
Yeah. Like, Pam, I feel like she's just doing this she's going back to her comfort.
Yeah.
She didn't get over anything. She doesn't think he's really changed. She's just like,
he has.
He has, but I don't think she thinks that. She thinks, like, well, he's making an effort, which is more than he used to do, so why not? Like, she's completely settling.
I guess.
I mean, that's just my cynical view.
No, I get it. You're cynical.
But,
I believe in true love.
And then Pam brings up her art show to Kelly.
This is what I was talking about. Okay?
Kelly's just like, "Oh, yeah."
Kelly is so disinterested and looking for a nice way to say
she
no.
She literally looks away from Pam and won't make eye contact.
This is what I'm talking about. Like, if we did a Facebook thing, and you know how you send it out to all your friends? Maybe 15 out of a couple hundred would like, "Oh, yeah." Yeah. We're like, the rest of them just ignore it or go about their days. They're like, "Well, we only went to high school together. We're not really friends." Yeah, and I feel like this is a thing that happens in real life. And I'm going to say this because I played in a band. Your husband is in a band.
Yes.
You play, like, you have a show scheduled or something like that, and you invite a bunch of people, and they're all like, "Oh, yeah, I'll try and get it." Nobody ever
gets there, and then five people.
Yeah, nobody ever fucking gets there. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Like, they just say it to your face to be nice, to keep your friendship, but they never fucking do it.
Yeah, that's
I can't
true.
Tell you how many times I had something going on, and I invited people, and they just don't show up. And I think, as a friend, you just tell them, "I'm really not interested." Yeah. I think that would go a lot further and make people a lot less cynical, like my sister.
I guess.
Am I wrong?
No. You're not wrong.
It just bothers me. It's because it's something I think a lot of people do. They're like, "Oh, well, I have this going on. Will you come?" And people just blow it off.
Yeah.
It's like, why the fuck do I even bother asking people?
Or, like, when people ask specifically for an invitation to your wedding, and then they're like, "Oh,
that's a totally different thing.
I have a wedding on the same day."
Did that happen?
Yeah.
Call her out. Put her on blast. Who is it?
It's a him.
What's his name?
I'm not saying.
Oh, I know who it is.
I'm not saying.
What a dick.
Right? Like,
he's like a Jim.
Like, but they made a big deal out of it. Like, oh, it's going to be so awkward because that person's going to be there. And then they're like, oh, I have another wedding.
Oh, it was one of those deals?
Yeah.
First of all.
Like an idiot.
Like, Pam and Roy.
30, for God's sake. Grow the fuck up.
Pam and Roy got over it. It wasn't awkward for them. Come on, man.
That's true. Up, I mean, bro. They basically went to their own wedding together, so.
Yeah, nut up, man. Come on, that's so stupid. But I digress.
I agree.
I just wanted to go on that tangent because it's something I think everybody, whether you have an art show like Pam, or if you are in a band, or you have a reading, or you want somebody to come to a
Or you want somebody to listen to your podcast and share it around.
anything like that. Anything you put out there. A Halloween party or something like that. You know, you put it out
there.
Don't
get me wrong. A couple of my girlfriends have shared this around, which, Ashley, you a real bitch.
you
a real bitch.
Ashley, you a real bitch. And I would never say that to your face.
I love you.
Because I just don't, my mama raised me not to call women bitches. So, that's all I'm going to say.
No, but she's the realist.
She's the real. All right, whatever. Now you sound like the Iron Sheik. He the real Bubba. I'm like, what the fuck?
She supports me in everything I do, and I appreciate it immensely. No,
Ashley's cool. Ashley's cool. I don't have a problem with Ashley. Some of your other friends I do, but not
Ashley. Wow. Okay. We're getting really personal and off topic here. So I'm going to go back, and Michael and Ryan are back at the business school, and they're walking through, and Michael's like, oh, look at the campus. Brings back days. Of nothing, because he never went to college.
Never went to college.
And Michael cuts in on a frisbee game and steals the frisbee off of the people.
Just chucks it.
Yeah. And then we go back, and Pam is doodling at her desk. What a shocker. And Dwight is at the copier, and he freaks. Gets down on the ground, and he's like, yo, this is animal feces.
Yeah, it's just these little pellets.
Yeah, and it's kind of gross because they're, like, green.
They're, like, they look wet.
Yeah, it's really actually probably the most realistic shit I've ever seen on TV.
Mm.
So, anyway, he gets down on the ground, and he hops up on her desk, though, after he realizes it's
with, like, a feces. Dentist mirror?
Yeah. I don't know where he puts all of these things. So, he's looking at the ceiling, and he's like, it's okay, everybody. There's a bird trapped in a vent, and he lifts up the ceiling tile, and you see a freaking bat.
It's a bat.
It's an actual bat staring back at you. Dwight falls off the desk.
Yeah, flies out.
He does. He's like, it's a bat! It's a bat! Everybody's running around. It's freaking...
Complete panic.
It's chaos. It's mayhem.
Kevin runs into a cameraman.
Yeah!
Angela stops, drops, and rolls.
Yeah! Like... Pam is hiding in the coats of the coat rack. Yeah. Jim and Creed, though, oddly enough, are just sitting very calmly. Like, the thing is flying around Creed, and he's just, like, not even moving. Just
drinking it in.
Right? It's like, he just loves the chaos. I don't know. Stanley puts his coat over his head and goes, goodbye!
Yeah, he leaves.
Angela's on the ground, face down, praying. Like, don't hit me, don't touch me.
Just this fucking, and like the bat is so fake too. It's like on a string. It's so great. I love it. It's so
amazing.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's awesome.
So then Ryan and Michael are back there. And
well,
Ryan,
we should say Dwight traps the bat in the conference room.
Oh, yes. It's in the conference room at this point.
Yes.
My apologies. So then Ryan is basically doing an intro, but Michael can't hear him. And Michael's like, oh, he's pumping me up. This is going to be great. And Ryan's just tearing the paper.
Dunder Mifflin will be obsolete in 5 years.
Yeah.
They're losing customers. He's basically saying, because this is a business class, that their business is unsustainable. Not unlike Dwight did when they waited outside David Wallace's house.
Yeah.
So he's doing it, but you know, statistically by the numbers in a business class using principles of that nature.
But he's also introducing his boss, who has no idea.
Who has no idea.
Saying any
he's
of
being
this.
Blindsided by this.
Yeah. But so then we go back. And we're in the office, and Toby's like, you would think somebody would just, we could solve this problem pretty easily by just opening a window, if we had windows that opened. Angela is, I'm trying to think, it's like a plastic rain bonnet.
No, it's a babushka. It's a clear babushka.
Well, and I didn't know if that was the term
that
I
needed to
use.
That's what I would use. That's what I would use, yeah.
But it's like, if you ever see an older woman who just got her hair set.
Coming out of church.
Yeah. She's got the plastic rain babushka on.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And the rain babushka, for those of you who don't know what a babushka is.
Polish.
It's just like a bonnet.
Yeah, like Eastern European.
Yeah. But she's wearing it inside, and she goes... It's raining, or poop is raining from the ceiling. poop. She's so upset about it. She's almost crying. She is. And then Jim calls Animal Control, and he's like, all right, they're going to be here at 6 p.m.
It shouldn't be an issue. Just don't go in the conference room.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. And then, like, Dwight's like, ah, 6 p.m., Jim, blah, 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 like, bitching at him. And Jim starts rubbing the back of his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, man, so weird. I know I felt the bat bite me, but there's no mark. And it's starting to feel like, I'm starting to feel tingly and powerful.
Yep.
And Dwight starts, you can already see his face drops, and he's serious.
See, I like the continuity of the cryptozoology with Dwight, because remember,
Jim's files were password protected by
mythological creatures, yeah. And Jim asked him about werewolves that one time, yep. And he thought Jim was mocking him like Buzz Lightyear, yeah. But like he's knowledgeable of such things. He is, you know?
So then we go back over to business school, and Michael walks into classical music on a boombox.
It's one of those holding. Like amphitheater classes, like, yeah. With the levels and going up, and he walks down with the boombox playing like the boom, fucking boom, British, boom, 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 yeah, like the boom, music they used to play for Winnie the Pooh, yes. Back in the day, like some shit like that.
But it turns out to be the beginning of a book on tape.
So he shuts it off.
Then he asks one of the students if he could borrow his book. And he does. And he starts ripping the pages out of the textbook, which...
I almost had a heart attack.
I was just going to say, as someone who went to college, and who had to pay for their books, it ripped my heart out.
Those things should have been made... Like, they should have been made of gold for what we paid for that shit.
Oh, my God. When you pay $800 at the beginning of the semester, yeah. And then you return them and you get, like, a $60 refund, you're like, really? You're going to charge $700 for these books next semester.
You want to hear about the greatest ream job of all time with
Absolutely,
college books?
Absolutely, I do.
So I took 4 years of French in high school. I was a pretty decent at French.
Yeah.
And so I get to college, they're like, oh, well, you don't have to take, like, the beginner or whatever course. You only have to take one semester of, like, the advanced or whatever. So I go in to buy the books or whatever, because, like, online, I'm like, oh, these things are fucking expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into the bookstore, they have this bundle. And it's, like, shrink-wrapped all together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I only need, like, two of these. Oh, no, you have to buy the whole... You had to buy the whole fucking thing. It was a grand, almost. It was, like, 3 years worth of French, even though I only needed, like, one semester. It all came together. So, gets had to pay out of fucking pocket. And then you try to return it later. Well, it's not in the shrink... It's not bundled anymore. You fuckers!
Yep.
Like, college is a scam, kids. It's a racket.
Chegg.com is where I got my books the last two semesters. Yeah, Chegg.
Is that like black market? Should we be talking about it?
No, it's not black market. Oh, okay. You can just buy you rent your books online for like a fraction of the cost of the store at the college.
Why didn't you tell me about this when I was
because
in school?
I didn't learn it until the last 2 years I was in school.
Good God.
So anyway, Chegg, if you'd like to sponsor this podcast, I will talk you up. We will talk about you.
We'll
every
take advertising
podcast
advertisement.
But anyway, he starts ripping these pages out, and I'm starting to have anxiety because I'm like, how's he going to return that book? Oh my God, they're never going to accept that back.
He's going to have to tape it together.
Yeah, right? Like, sew the pages back into the seam.
Fucking gross.
But he's talking about he's trying to emphasize that you don't learn from a book.
You need life experience.
Yes, you need life lessons. And, you know, if you'd have a book worth its weight in gold with all of those life lessons, and you could see the utter heartbreak on this kid's face.
Yeah, he's
like, best actor award goes to this kid.
He's got his fucking Sideshow Bob hair.
Those glasses.
Well, I do want to comment on this. It's very close to a college campus in 2007.
Oh
the
my
way,
God, yeah.
Like the guys who are college students who are wearing fucking blazers with the patches on the elbows. Yeah. Like, who wears that to fucking class? Come on.
I know.
You're
well,
a college
it's business
guy.
School, but if you think about it, they're probably working full-time jobs, too.
No, like Ryan is. The rest of them are regular students,
yeah,
I presume. But, like, they're all there with their fucking glasses and, like, all the...
All of them have laptops.
Yeah, they all look like Gideon Yago from MTV News. Like,
oh
what the
God,
fuck?
Stop.
Am I wrong? Like, that's what I'm fucking looking at these guys. I'm like, look
perfect
at these.
Perfect 2007 feels. So, anyway, Michael then says, listen, I know these books are expensive, but the lesson is priceless. That's literally what he says to this dude.
Yeah, who has a price on that book.
Who has, like, probably a $500 price on that book, let's be real. So then Michael continues to talk about there's four kinds of business. Tourism, food service, railroads, what the fuck, sales, and hospitals / manufacturing and air travel.
I love how he puts those two in the same category. Oh, it's fucking great.
So then we go back to the office, and Dwight is...
putting Elmer's glue into a box.
A paper, yeah, like, and he's zigzagging the pattern, right. Like, what... what is he doing
to catch the bats?
No, I know, but like, what is he doing?
It seems so rudimentary.
It does. Yeah. Like, it seems like almost like he's gonna prop the box up with a stick. Like, that's what I imagine.
He's gonna put like garlic or something. Yeah, right. Well, not garlic.
No, but. Not garlic. But anyway, he overhears Jim at Karen's desk, and he drops something, and he goes, "Oh my god!" In the worst acting.
Yeah,
ever.
It's that. It's more of that wooden Jim acting.
Yeah, yeah, and he's like, "Oh my god!" And Karen goes, "What's wrong, Jim?" And he goes, "That bread on your desk is white hot. It burned my hand." And she goes, "But Jim, that garlic bread is cold." Yeah. And I love this because Dwight just kind of looks and he shakes his head and he goes, "One crisis at a time."
Like, there's a vampire amongst us. It's
I'm
going to
deal with that later.
It's hilarious.
So then Dwight in a talking head goes, "You know what? If there was a vampire bat in the United States, it would make sense to go to a Sylvania, like Pennsylvania." And then he's like on the computer, like
looking
researching
up, yeah,
vampires.
Like a GeoCities website. Yeah. With, like, pictures of vampires and shit.
Fantastic. And while he's doing this, we see Jim like pointing at his canines, like feeling his canines. So then Michael is back at business school talking complete bullshit.
Yes.
He's like, "First you need to get a building, then supply." And that's when he ties in his
candy bars.
Bars.
Oh, the candy bars, man.
And he's like, you know, you need like a diddly-doo or a
thingamajig.
Jack, yeah. Or a whatchamacallit. And he throws it out at these kids who are taking notes, completely unenthusiastic that they're getting candy.
Yes.
Can we just talk about that? And he goes, "Once you sell your whatchamacallit, you get a payday."
He pulls that out of his pocket. He has candy all over
him. He does.
He's like one of those guys who sells watches on the street with like a chinch coat. He just has candy bars all over him.
Then he goes, "And if once you make your payday and you sell enough of your whatchamacallits, you'll get $100,000.
Yes.
Throws that, like, crashes into a kid's laptop.
The fact that it hit that guy's head made me laugh so hard. That was perfect.
And then he just looks up and he goes, "Satisfied."
Yeah,
he's
a
holding
Snickers.
A Snickers.
That was awesome. I did it like that.
That was enjoyable. So then Toby and Pam are talking, and Pam's talking to him about the art show. He goes, "Damn it, I have my daughter's play tonight." And Pam's like, oh.
Just the fact that he said, "Damn it."
Yeah. But he's like, she's like, "Oh, no, it's okay. It's not a big deal." And he's like, "No, I'm sure the other parents will tape it. It's important to support the local art."
He's desperate.
And he is. And he goes, "What they do isn't art."
He shits on his kid. The thing that kills me is he had that total bombshell last episode. I'm curious what happened.
Yo, Pam, I'm going to pull a line from Heath Ledger from 10 Things I Hate About You. Huh. What does this chick have, beer-flavored nipples? My God! Every guy loves Pam, even though he had that smoke show at the wedding. Who kissed him?
She's got pheromones or something
going on.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Her pheromones are all over that friggin' office. The warehouse, everywhere.
It's like the slutty dog that shows up at the dog park, and all the other dogs are chasing it around.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Oh my god.
I shouldn't say slutty dog.
Yeah, it's dogs weird... cannot inherently be slutty.
No, that's a weird... Don't... I hope somebody's going to isolate that audio one day.
That slutty dog.
I digress, anyway.
So anyway, then Michael goes back, and he's talking about... he's basically, like, talking down to the business class.
Yeah.
He's like... "Then you make a profit," which is a fancy word for money. Like, he's literally talking down to them. Ryan is, like, mortified. Well,
is this when Ryan interjects?
Yes. Okay. He's like, "Listen, Michael, it's more of, like, a question and answer. Like, just answer the questions."
Yeah.
And,
the barrage starts.
Yes. He basically is in complete denial of the paper industry going down.
Yeah.
These students are asking questions like, "How can you, like, how is this sustainable? This index, blah, blah, blah." Way over my head.
Oh, way over his head.
Yeah.
And like, they're talking about, you know, the five national chains. Dunder Mifflin doesn't have the capacity to compete with them and all this. And within 5 years, like, certain metrics show this and that.
And
Michael just
like
gets defensive.
Melting down.
He gets
yeah.
defensive. And he starts.
We're getting
ahead. I'm sorry.
Yep. It's okay, because they break it up. This is kind of a whiplashy episode.
That's right, we go back to Dwight here.
Yeah, and Jim, well, Karen walks over to Jim and goes, Jim, here's the aspirin you asked for. And Jim, again, wooden acting, thank you, I just have such a bad headache. And she goes, from what? And he goes, the glare off of Angela's crucifix.
The acting reminded me of like those 1950s sex ed tapes. Oh my god! You ever see them?
Yeah.
Hey, Joey, would you like to go to the dance?
Yeah.
Like shit like that. Like,
oh my god. Make sure not to get too close to Susie, Jimmy.
Yeah, like, shit, like the awful way they talk. They like make sure they enunciate everything so Dwight can hear.
Yep, exactly. So then Dwight is in a talking head saying that he doesn't have any experience with vampires, but he does have experience with werewolves. He actually hunted one once, but by the time he got to it, it had turned back into his neighbor's dog.
He just fucking killed the dog.
Like, what the fuck?
It's so dark.
So then Dwight goes over to Creed, and he goes, do you want to form an alliance? Creed immediately, yes. Yeah. And he's just, like, it's just so absurd, and Creed's just, like, already on board with anything. He goes, do you have the tools to change a mop handle into a stake? And he pulls open a drawer and he goes, how big?
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck? So we go back and Michael again is being completely bombarded with questions, basically just attacking the paper industry.
Yeah.
And Michael's upset and angry. And then the one student says, your own employee says within 5 years, you'll be obsolete. And Michael just goes, Ryan said that?
And did you notice that the teacher or the professor even looks at Ryan like, the fuck?
Right? Why'd exactly.
You, like, you didn't tell this guy what this was about?
Yeah.
Like, Ryan totally blindsided Michael.
He did. But Michael is just, like, upset. Like, you could see it to his core.
He got turned on by his boy. He got Ryan turned heel on him, man. Chair shot to the back.
My God. So we go back. Kelly's in the kitchen. Creed runs into the maintenance closet and grabs some kind of aerosol can.
Yeah.
Which I immediately thought, oh my god, he's going to make a fucking flamethrower. Like, I would not put that past Creed whatsoever.
Many a camping trip, my man.
And Kelly goes, ask what's going on. And she goes, Creed, don't you hurt that bat. And Creed goes, animals can't feel pain.
He has the best one-liners. He really does. Oh my god.
He just pulls them right out. And Kelly's like, don't you hurt that bat. He has a family and feelings. And, like, Dwight is ready with his glue-laden box. Yeah. And he's like, all right, you flush him out to the door and I'll get him.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as they open the door, the bat
it
flies
out.
And it flies to Kelly and she goes, kill it! Kill it!
Who fucking family? Kill it!
And then Kevin shuts the door as it flies into the kitchen and goes, I'm a hero.
So smug.
So then we're back at business school, and Michael just keeps getting angrier and angrier at these students asking questions. And they say, you know, he goes, well, if they leave us, we'll say you're going to miss our service. And they go, how many people have come back? And he goes, none yet, but we don't want their business.
They're jerks or something.
Yeah, they're jerks. And they're like, but, you know, even if you're facing 5 Goliaths. And he goes, you want to know who else is facing Goliaths? America, Al-Qaeda, global warming, sex predators, mercury poisoning. And then he just stops after 4.
Mercury poisoning.
And he's like, Dunder Mifflin is the big picture. And then he totally turns code on Ryan.
Yeah,
Ryan never made a sale. He started a fire while he was making a cheesy pita. And he's a big tease.
Yeah, everybody thinks he's a tease. So weird.
It's so strange. And Ryan's just like, God damn it, I should have never done this. Like, you can see the regret on his face. So then we're at Pam's art show. And she's just kind of standing there meekly in front of her drawings. And we see she has, like, a picture of a cup. There's 2 different buildings. There's a vase with flowers in it.
It's simplistic.
Oh, my God, yes.
Very
simplistic.
She did
more color. She put more effort into the backgrounds of these drawings.
Well, they're not horrible. Like, it's something I couldn't do.
No, I couldn't do it either. But, you know, like everybody else, like, they show all of these other art students. And they have these big crowds. And everybody's really excited. And she's just kind of standing there by herself.
Yeah.
So then we see Michael, and he and Ryan are driving back to the office, and Ryan's like, listen, man, it was nothing personal, and Michael says, business is the most personal thing there is.
Yeah, the opposite of The Godfather.
Yes. And he goes, when we get back to the office, pack your things. Mm-hmm. And Ryan's like, what?
Sounds foreboding.
Yeah, like, Michael is upset.
He won't even look at him.
He won't. He's very pissed. So Meredith, we find out, was in the bathroom.
She's in the bathroom, yeah.
When Kevin closed the door to the kitchen. And she's like, I want to leave now. I want to get out. And Creed, as he's leaving, goes, good night, Mary Beth.
So awesome.
So then Jim, like, Dwight's at the water cooler looking at the bat. And Jim just, like,
sneaks up
and stands right behind him. Dwight, like, literally jumps and, like, cradles the water cooler.
It's hilarious.
And he's like, are you sure that you're good waiting for animal control? Dwight's like, animal control. I've been controlling animals since I was six. Which...
Sounds about right on a barn. Yeah. Or on a barn.
Oh,
on
yeah,
a farm.
A farm, yeah. So then Jim is still playing up the whole vampire bit, and he
has his peacoat.
His collar up, yeah, and he's like, you know, just, I'm going to go lay down. It's just so sunny in here. And then he looks over the top of his collar as he's leaving. He goes, goodbye, Dwight. Like, super creepy.
Yeah.
And then you see Dwight pull up. He has a broomstick made into a steak.
Yes.
And then we see Jim outside. Like, Dwight's looking out at him. Jim has his coat up over his head as he's walking to his car. Yeah. And Dwight goes... We're on different paths now. He's on an eternal journey, and I wish him well. Like, super serious. Jim is turning into a vampire.
That's awesome. Well, he believed that Ben Franklin was the real Ben Franklin.
He's 99% sure wasn't the real Ben Franklin.
See,
though.
This is what I'm talking about. Like, the Jim-Dwight stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's using Dwight's own, like, arrogance against him. Like, that Dwight knows about vampires or about Ben Franklin and shit.
Exactly. But, so then Dwight puts a mask on and he goes into the kitchen.
Oh, the paintball mask.
Yeah, the paintball mask. And that's all we see.
Yeah. And he pulls up like a Casey Jones kind of hockey stick or something. Yeah.
I think it was the broom with the stake.
Is that what it was? Okay, because it looked like he unsheathes it like a sword. Yeah.
So then, Pam, we're back at her art show and there's this older woman looking at her paintings. And she's like, oh, I wouldn't say I'm an impressionist. And the lady's like, yeah, I wouldn't either. Like, oh, she's basically talking shit on her
This
art.
Old lady's a bitch.
Yeah,
okay?
She is.
I'm sorry, but, like, she's really rude. And
she is. She's like, yeah, they're very simple. So then Roy and his brother Kenny show up. And
speaking of guys who look like they eat at Arby's all the time, Kenny. Kenny's face.
Oh, Kenny. Oh, just bloated. He looks like he has a lot of salt in his system.
I like him. He looks like a fun guy. A guy I'd enjoy watching, like, Penn State games with.
Oh, something. For sure.
Yeah.
So, Roy is trying to show off, like, hey, I'm here. Look at that. I'm here. I brought my brother. Nobody from work is here,
He's trying a little hard.
He's trying so hard, but it just backfires and makes Pam realize, like, yeah, nobody did show up. But not one person.
If he just, like, was, like, cool about it, like, oh, me and Kenny came, we want to see
your
art.
Yeah, like, this is so good.
Yeah.
But he has to throw in, like, nobody else from the office, like, Jim's not here.
Fuck Halpert, right?
I'm gonna kill Jim Halpert. But, so we go back, and Dwight charges into the kitchen with a garbage bag. Yes. Meredith simultaneously runs out of the bathroom and starts screaming. And then... Dwight puts the garbage bag over Meredith's head, and the bat is in the bag with Meredith. And he's going, hold still, woman! And the bat is still in the bag. Meredith's freaking out. And Dwight takes it off of her head, and her hair is all over.
Yeah, she's all a mess.
She's pissed.
She's a very red woman.
She
Not
is.
Just her hair, like her
no,
face.
No, her face was red.
Yeah.
And he just goes, you're welcome, as a bat's, like, flying around the bag. So then Roy is like, are you sure it's okay that I leave? Like, I looked at all of them.
All of the art.
All six of your paintings, I guess. And as he's leaving, he comes over, like, he's like, Pam, you coming over to my place? She's like, I don't know, I'm tired. We'll see.
She's
and
tired.
This is Roy genuinely trying to seem like he knows what he's talking about.
I thought you were going to say seduce her.
Well, that too. But he's like, Pam, your art was the prettiest art of all the art.
It's beautiful. You know, it's sexy, too. Don't forget.
Yeah, it's really sexy. So then we're back, and Michael and Ryan are at the office. And Michael is solemnly standing outside of his office watching Ryan pack up his desk.
Uh-huh.
And Ryan apologizes, and he's basically just, like, trying not to get fired. And he's like, please don't fire me. And Michael goes, oh, I'm not firing you. You're moving to the annex.
Uh-huh.
And Ryan goes, where Kelly is? And he's like, and you know what? I admire this quote from Michael Scott.
About the good managers?
A good manager doesn't fire people. He hires people and inspires people. And he goes, people, Ryan, people will never go out of business. And I'm like, finally, the manager, Michael Scott, has come to the gosh darn building.
Amazon's putting that theory to work, to put it mildly, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll say that. But you know what, like, I thought, like, that is a really...
He was mature.
Yeah.
Instead of freaking out and firing Ryan and calling him a poophead or something.
Yeah, like, he was just like, no, I'm going to basically teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
You're going to make a sale because you're going to want to get away from Kelly.
He knows that he hates Kelly so much.
But there's still a relationship.
Yes. It's so weird.
It is. I mean, that tells you
Speaking
everything.
Speaking of beer-flavored nipples... God.
When he bashed the bouquet away from her, though, I died. I was like, oh my God. I legitimately cannot believe I've never seen that before.
Hardcore.
So anyway, we're back at the art show, and Oscar and Gil showed up.
All right. Oscar is, like, trying to be nice here. He's, like, defending Pam.
He is.
And Gil is a total
bitch. Yo, Gil's
bitch.
A douche.
He's a total bitch.
He's talking shit. Like, he's talking shit on Pam because Pam's not there. She was saying goodbye to Roy.
Yeah.
She walks back up to hear Gil saying, like, oh, yeah, like, because Oscar's like, it's her first try. Like, you're the one who said, let's support the arts. Like, so we're here. And Gil's like, yeah, and Da Vinci's first attempt was the peasant's hands.
Yeah, and he's like, this is motel art.
Well, that's what he says. He's like, real art takes courage and honesty. And Oscar's like, well, those aren't Pam's strong suits, you know? Mm-hmm. And he goes, and that's why this is motel art.
such a bitch. He really is.
Like, I think he even had a head shake in there.
Gil's like, hilarious.
This is motel art.
I like Gil and Oscar. They're fun. They really are.
So, Pam is like... pretty upset at this point, and like everybody, like she knows nobody else is coming.
Yeah,
all the other artists had all these friends and family show up, and she had Gil and Roy,
yeah,
and Oscar. And that's it, and Kenny. Can't forget Kenny. And the old lady was a complete bitch to her. But then Michael runs in, he's like, Pam, did I miss it? Because she was about to start taking her stuff down, and he calls her Pam Casso. I love it. All the variations. All the nicknames Michael gives Pam.
Absolutely.
And he's, like, completely impressed with her work. And he goes, oh my God, she did these freehands? These could be tracings. But
he's being sincere, though.
He is, though. Like, yeah. He's genuinely impressed by her.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, I love the one at the office building. And he wants to buy it from her. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh my God, that's my car. That's my window. Is that your car? Mm-hmm. And Michael says the one thing Pam wanted to hear today. I'm so proud of you. That's all she wanted to hear from anybody.
That's all she wanted from anybody. Halper didn't say that.
Halper wasn't there. Him and Karen didn't come. Nope. Shocker. And she hugs him. Yeah. And she's like almost in tears because she's like, oh my God, Michael is the only one that's proud of me for putting myself out there.
Uh-huh.
And then she goes, what's that in your pocket? As she's hugging him. And he goes, Chunky. And then he pulled out another candy bar.
Yeah, Chunky bar.
And he goes, do you want to split it? And she's like, no, thank you. Like, completely, like, why? Of all people, why?
It was kind of like Dwight's moment where he was, like, nice to her, and then he asked her if she was PMS.
Exactly.
It was one of those swerves. I liked
it. Who did this to you? So then we go back to the office, and Michael has framed Pam's painting.
The thing he takes down, that plaque, and it has, like, a stain on the wall.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Oh, God. He's just trying to cover up the stain. But he hangs up the picture, and he's so proud of it.
Yeah.
And then we see, as our last little snapshot, Ryan moving into the desk behind Kelly. And she just, literally, I think it was, like, 20 times, oh, my God, 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 oh, my God. And Ryan's like, this is only temporary. Don't get excited. And she goes, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't. Like at least 10 more times. Yeah.
She was excited.
She was very excited. So, Kevin, what did you give this episode?
4.3.
Holy shit. I gave it a 4.4.
Yeah, we're on the same page. We're on the same page.
Wow.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
What did you take off for?
What did I take off for? Oh, God. See, I just think that they're...
The textbook ripped my heart out.
No, I
felt so bad for that kid.
I didn't take it off for that. I'm trying to think, like... First of all, the things I liked.
Okay.
These two episodes, the lack of Andy.
Oh, well, he's in anger management.
It's great.
It is great.
It's a lot more fun.
It is.
The second thing is no Jim Pam stuff in this episode, except for Jim's irritable talking head in the very beginning.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Those cleared the way for real comedy. with Michael's talk, with Dwight chasing the bat. Like, oh, those were all funny. Like, I enjoyed that stuff. That was great shit.
Hold still, woman! That was my favorite.
Like, I guess, I don't know, maybe, like, it just didn't feel like a five, is basically
it. Yeah, it didn't reach the five.
No, like, it was funny, really, but it wasn't, like, uproarious.
Yeah, you know? it was funny, it had its good parts, I love Gil being a bitch, but it just didn't have the five quality.
Yeah, it just, there's something you just feel when you watch that. Like, when I watched Ben Franklin last week, I'm like, fuck it, awesome.
That's how I am with Gay Witch Hunt, man.
Yeah, those are just the episodes, they hit you in the gobsmack you.
Exactly.
And it's, like, I guess I just deducted points because it wasn't as good. It didn't hit you as hard, it wasn't as impactful with the funny or the character.
Yeah, it just wasn't a five. Yeah. It was a great episode. I laughed, but it was just missing that certain
je ne sais quoi, because I took a lot of French. So, okay, things we could touch on, I guess, would be Ryan, because I think this is one of those things, like before we said about Michael last episode, where it reinforces what we know or think about Ryan already.
Oh, yeah,
that he's not wrong. He's got his head in the right. Like the dude says to Walter in The Big Lebowski, you're not wrong, you're just an asshole. And that's the temp right now, because he's not wrong about anything he's saying about Dunder Mifflin.
It's the way he's going about it.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, in the future, is it bared out? Like, does Dunder Mifflin last? Because isn't there a whole thing with copiers or something? Like, really, I'm serious. Like, I really don't know, and I'm just going with it, right?
We will find out, because we're only in season 3 of 9.
It's not spoiler. If people are listening to this, they're probably already fans of the show and know. Like, I honestly don't know. I just know that
Moshan yelled at me for spoilers. Moshan. We're not doing any spoilers.
So, I mean, Ryan is an interesting case because I think he's the closest thing there is to a villain on the show. You know what I mean? Like, he's a user of Kelly in a way.
Oh my god, yeah.
He uses her for sex. He uses Michael
to further
his own career, or just to float by, because, like, Michael even said,
he's not doing anything at this job.
No, he hasn't made a sale or anything.
Yeah, he's not doing anything, but he's getting a paycheck. He's beloved by the boss.
The boss loves him.
The boss is getting him an extra letter grade in his class.
And that's the thing, is he kind of fucked up here, because he was skating by doing nothing, because he was Michael's boy. Now Michael's got it out for him.
Yep, that big tease is going to have to pay up now.
Big tease. So what do you think about Pam?
I think she's still trying to figure out her identity.
I think it's, I don't know. I think she's just lonely. That's what I
think. Oh, God. Yeah,
she's very lonely.
Like, if you think about it, like, okay, she sees that Roy is putting in, like, some kind of an effort. Like, obviously he's going out of his way, like, at the wedding to, like, pay the band $20 to dance with her.
Yeah, yeah.
To go to the gym. To bring Kenny to... Oh, yeah, he's going to the gym to get himself in shape.
He's working on himself before he can be good enough for someone else.
Well, I don't know if that's so much what it is.
I think that's exactly what it is.
Before he could be good enough for Pan to take him back.
There's a reason that the guys... The demographic with the most gym memberships is divorced men. Okay.
Oh God, yeah.
And that's what Roy is doing. He's working on himself. He's like, I gotta be hot. I gotta be more. Because What was lacking was my emotional connection to her. So I'm gonna work on that and be more open, more better listener.
Yeah.
And be there for her. So like, he is working on all those things.
But the fact that the only thing that came to my mind when you were like, he's going to the gym, he's working on being better for her. It goes back to Valentine's Day. Oh, I have a gift. Gonna go home and you're gonna have the best sex of your life.
Roy was gonna give her his dick for Valentine's Day. It's wonderful.
What a thoughtful gift.
But like, when you see her just like all uncomfortable at the painter or the art gallery, like, she's putting herself out there. So obviously she's making strides.
Oh yeah, she's working on herself for sure.
I feel the thing that I think the writers do is a disservice. Writing these characters is that they make it seem that every character needs someone else. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, except for Creed.
Creed
and Meredith. And what are they painted as?
Meredith needs alcohol.
And Creed's
a free spirit, to put it mildly. But I think they make everybody dependent on others in this show.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which is not realistic.
Not healthy.
And not healthy. Yeah, that's another thing. I think maybe that's a crutch. Like we
except for Toby. Toby's not.
No, Toby's.
Looking he's in love with Pam. We know this.
Well, that and he's looking to fill the void that his wife left in him.
Yeah.
Hence his hot date to the wedding.
Oh, she was a smoke show.
She was. Oh god, I can't get over it. I'm like, where did they find this woman?
Right.
But anyway, like I don't know. Maybe that's a thing about the writing is that I've picked up over three seasons is maybe. That. Because we've talked about it before, like, everybody in the office is, like, having sex, and like, they keep linking them up. There's no outside forces that are – well, I mean, like, obviously people have home lives and that, but, like, they're not shown on the show. Instead, we get, like, 10 variations of couples.
Yeah, the only outside force was Purse Girl.
Yes, exactly.
That was it, and she was very short-lived.
I think that might be a weakness that I've detected just now, just talking about Pam, is like that came to my mind. I'm like,
I wouldn't say it's a weakness because...
No, weakness in the writing, that's a crutch they use.
Oh,
not the character.
I thought you meant like outside characters.
No. The writer's using the character.
Codependency, I gotcha.
I think that's a crutch that they lean on a little too heavily to the fact that I noticed it and it's starting to like... I'm going to start viewing things that way now. Probably, because it's in my mind. But anything else you want to talk about this episode?
No, I honestly think we covered it. This
fun.
Was a really good week.
Yeah, just
I
fun
had a
shows.
Lot of fun this week. The comedy was on point with both episodes.
They've been on a good run this series or this season.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of like 3.5 to 4.5s.
And
some five sprinkled in.
Under three, there was only one or
the
two.
The one last week. What was that?
The Return.
The Return, yeah. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's been like enjoyable to watch these shows and talk about them.
Because the characters are developing more.
Not only
and
that,
we're getting
but
to see their – we're getting the inside jokes.
It's a lot more funny.
Yeah.
The comedy is starting to hit where before it was like hit and miss. And they're starting to land a lot more jabs than miss, which is very good because season like season one was rough. Season two was like hit like that was the herky jerky one.
Yeah.
And the beginning of season three with the Stanford stuff was like very hit and miss. It was like, this isn't working, guys. But once they got through the merger.
Yeah.
Once
Hannah left.
Yeah, speaking of the merger. I was they had like the Horror Fest movies on AMC this week.
Yeah.
And before Gremlins was Independence Day. Do you know who is the Roswell? He's like a scientist at Roswell. He like features in there with Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Oh God.
Martin Nash. Martin Nash is in there.
Shut up.
He is. He's like a scientist that, or not Roswell, Area 51.
Yeah.
He's like the one who like helps them with the spaceship and shit. I swear to God, it's him.
Oh my God.
I even looked it up. It's Martin Nash. But I digress. I think we're done this week with these episodes. So we might as well just remind you guys, brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com if you'd like to share any questions, concerns, comments, suggestions.
Let us know your thoughts on starting a Facebook page.
Yes, we'll do a Twitter poll about starting a Facebook page, and you can tell us whether or not we should touch hot button social topics again in the future, which I will say I don't think we're going to come across as badly as we think we did.
No, I hope not.
I think we're going to come across as normal people trying to navigate a social situation, a social issue.
Trying to be PC.
Because that's what we are, because we're not the most knowledgeable people.
Not about that.
Like, it's not like we read every Hollywood news story, you know, but the overarching themes, I think, make sense. But anyway, also reach out to us on Twitter at Brosis Podcast. Did I say that already? I'm going to say it again anyway.
Whatever. We're going to say it again. At Brosis Podcast on Twitter and brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
And if you guys would be if you guys would be happy and willing to share the show with your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, whoever, if you have anybody who enjoys The Office, anybody who you think would get a laugh out of the show, anybody who you think just, hey, you know, fill up your time on your commute to work or whatever, you know, pitch the show to them. See if they like it, if they want to give us a listen. We would really appreciate it if you'd help us out and help the show grow, get us some new listeners. It would mean a great deal to us. We would both greatly appreciate it very much.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that – oh, and also, the big announcement, since you are going to Disney World.
I am.
As she has mentioned copious times, numerous times.
Very excited.
We are still going to have the cast next week. The show must go on, and we're keeping it in the family since we are siblings.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba.
Our baby brother is coming in.
Oz
is coming in to do the show, and he's very excited, actually. He texted that he has multiple pages of notes. Although I will try to rein him in so he's not like Mare Bear here, so, you know, transcribing.
At the beginning.
Yeah,
I've learned my lesson and I've trimmed it down.
Well, he might be overzealous. I don't know. He said he has ideas.
He's like, you're going to replace Mary with me. Don't you worry, Kev. He's a great and powerful Oz.
He says he has ideas, so I'm curious. I hope you guys will give him a chance.
Don't worry, guys. If it's shitty, I'll be back next week.
Yeah, should be there. But anyway, guys, just giving you a heads up there, we're going to have a special guest host, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So until then, we hope you guys have a good week. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks so much, guys. Bye.